So right now we began considering the prophetic ministry of Christ. Remember, Christ has three offices: prophet, priest, and king. So I want to read a couple passages that relate to his prophetic ministry, beginning with Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and I just want to read the first three verses, and then I want to switch to Luke 4, where we see the fulfillment of that prophecy. Okay? So Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And here it comes, because the Lord has anointed me. Remember, that's what Christ means. The name Christ means anointed one. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim, that's prophetic, right? That's the teaching office, right? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So I could summarize all of this. Christ is saying here, I have been anointed to preach the gospel, to proclaim the glad tidings, the good tidings, and to comfort the mourners in Zion. So now we turn to Luke 4, where we read the fulfillment of this, beginning at verse 15, or that's verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. This is after he was tempted in the desert by the devil. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues. So that's it. The prophetic ministry is the teaching ministry. Teaching the word of God. That's the calling of a prophet, to be God's spokesman. So he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He came to his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Right? So an interesting insight into the life of Christ. It was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Right? So, however, when you would go to the synagogue, okay, you could ask to read the scriptures. That's what he did. So he gets up. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So they handed him a scroll, right? And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach, here it is, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, the one in charge of the synagogue, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Right? So we'll leave it at that. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, what a privilege it is to be together again, also in this capacity, that also we may gather here to continue to interact with thy precious word. That precious word which ultimately has its origin in thy heart. That word by which thou dost communicate with us, the children of men. That word in which thou dost reveal thyself to us. That word which speaks to us of thy anointed one, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one, anointed to be our prophet,
anointed to be our priest, and anointed to be our king. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may personally know our Lord Jesus as such, that this Christ would be the altogether lovely one to us, and that we would live in dependence upon this prophet, priest, and king. We ask it in his name. Amen.
So we have to begin with 455, but before I start that, somebody asked me if I could just briefly explain what NAPARC is all about. As you could see in the bulletin, there was prayer. One of the items I hope to pray for tonight is for God's blessing upon the meeting. So anyway, that's where I was this week. I left on Monday, came home on Thursday. NAPARC stands for this: North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. So this was formed in the early 70s, having as its objective for conservative Reformed churches to come together annually to get to know each other better, and ultimately with the desire is to become one. In other words, having as the objective what Christ prays for in John 17, that his people would be one, that the world might know that God has sent him into the world. So NAPARC has been convening now for almost 50 years. It now consists of 12 conservative Reformed denominations, from very small to very large. The smallest, I think, is the Presbyterian Reformed Church. There's a church in Rhode Island. There's a couple congregations, very small. We are also one of the smaller ones. And the largest one of the 12 is the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America. And so I was called to address the PCA, and I said, this feels like David addressing Goliath, because we just have 10 churches. Okay, they have a membership of almost 500,000. They have more than 5,000 ministers. They have more than 70 mission projects around the world, right? So a very large denomination, right? So the PCA was one of the original founders, together with the CRC, the Christian Reformed Church, and the PCA. They were the founding members of NAPARC. Now, what's happened since then is that NAPARC has expelled the Christian Reformed Church as members. They expelled them because of their view on women in office. And so since the CRC refused to repent, they were expelled from NAPARC. Okay, so now we have 12. Let's see, I should really let you know a minute, because you're going to ask me which churches are... let me see if I can quickly pull that up a minute and read to you the churches that belong to NAPARC. Just a moment here. I'm almost there. Here we go. No, that's quite a few years now. They were already expelled by the time we came on board a few years ago as HRC. Yeah, it's been quite a few years already, right? So the member churches are the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, the ARPC, the Canadian Reformed Churches, the Reformed Church of Quebec, that's in Canada, the Free Reformed Churches of North America, the Heritage Reformed Congregations, the Korean American Presbyterian Church, the Korean Presbyterian Church in America, two different Korean denominations, both of which are Presbyterian, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the Presbyterian Church in America, PCA, the Presbyterian Reformed Church, Reformed Church in the United States, RCUS, Reformed Presbyterian Church in North America, and the United Reformed Churches in North America. Those are all the members of NAEPARC. And then we have two official observers, the Protestant Reformed Churches and the Bible-Presbyterian Church. That means they are not members yet, but they simply are observing. They are invited every year to come, and they... So what happens is that each church gives a report about their denomination, and then the rest of the delegates can ask questions. And then we offer prayer for each federation. So let me put it this way. What has finally dawned on all of these churches, we all have our unique history, our unique setup. We're never going to achieve organizational union. But let us strive to manifest our organic union in Christ, also in our culture, right? And so in the past, we have already had topics on the agenda that deal with the current issues of our day, because we have realized increasingly that instead of all 12 of us each blowing our own little trumpet, that we need to find ways in which we can bundle our resources and be a unified witness to our culture, our apostate culture, right? And so that's something that's beginning to grow and develop. And so there's already a high level of interaction between several denominations when it comes to mission work. So once a year, all of the mission committees of these federations, they come together and they collaborate. They share ideas and so forth. And again, they encourage each other in the great calling of the church to preach the gospel to every creature. So this year... there were five people of our denomination there. Dr. Bickey was there. Dr. Neely was there. Courtney Less, who was an elder in Chilliwack. Jim Bickey is an elder in Chilliwack. And myself. We were there to represent the HRC. The reason why Dr. Bickey and Dr. Neely were there is because they presented a plan for the establishment of a new conservative Christian college. Okay, and Dr. Neely did an outstanding job. We realized that there's a desperate need today for a sound, reformed, conservative Christian college. And so the reason they made the presentation at NAEPARC is they're hoping, and there was a lot of support for this whole idea. Okay, so they have an investigatory committee now that is made up of people from all these federations to explore the possibility of establishing a new Christian college. And the idea is to begin small, to begin by offering courses, and then expand it slowly until we have arrived at establishing a four-year institution. And so what will be helpful is that we would use the facilities of PRTS as a place to start. So that the advantage is that all of the infrastructure is already there. The technology is there, because what Dr. Neely was presenting is the idea of a hybrid model. What he means by hybrid model is to establish a college that, where people also can attend online. So, in other words, if parents cannot afford to actually send them to the physical college, that they could still have their kids take courses. I mean, that's a whole new thing that's developing, that's coming out of the COVID crisis as well, right? And the technology, even for PRTS, the technology has reached such a level now, right, that we can literally have men from around the world enroll in courses at PRTS and be there in real time, participate in the classes. Okay, so the infrastructure is there, and now that RHB is no longer in the building and has in a new facility, we have this whole basement that has opened up downstairs where we have lots of room where we could build additional classrooms. So the goal is that in the fall of 2022, that we would begin with an initial course offering. Right, and so what we're going to begin by doing is offering courses in what we call apologetics, because we realize that our young people today, as they attend colleges and universities, they need to be equipped to defend the faith. They need to be equipped to understand why we believe what we believe, and so that's where we feel we have to begin. So basically what they did is take a straw vote and to ask, you know, who would support that. And there was overwhelming support for that idea. So now this is the green light for this investigatory committee to begin and go to work and come see what can be accomplished. So we're hopeful that because Dr. Beeky said, I have been asked so many times over the past 10 years, and I keep on saying, I don't have time to do this, right? I've got my hands full. But he said, finally, I could not say no any longer. And then I pulled a few people together and said, what can we do, right? And as a result, a committee was born that began now to take a serious look at this, right? And he believes that when we can get this off the ground, that there will be overwhelming financial support throughout this nation for a new institution like this, right? So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted. But that was
the large Presbyterian denomination that's part of NAPAR.
Yeah.
Where are all their people trained? Seminaries and so forth.
Yeah. So the PCA has their own seminary. I believe it's called Covenant Seminary in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think it's one of their seminaries, I believe. They have a couple seminaries, okay? And what was encouraging, because the PCA is very large. It's a very large tent, right? And so you have a variety. You have very conservative ministers, and you have others. But they just had their General Assembly, okay? And the whole issue of sexual morality and the gender issue was very much on their table because of a controversy that arose with one of their ministers, right, who caused a lot of disturbance. But what was encouraging for us to hear, the man who represented the PCA gave a detailed account, and to hear how, in the end of the day, how the PCA very publicly affirmed their unswerving and unconditional commitment to the Word of God. That was actually encouraging to hear. Right, so that crisis has been good for them. He said, this man said, it really forced us as a denomination to come to grips, right? And he said, in the end, he says, the Word of God prevailed. So that was actually encouraging to hear. Yeah.
Do you know, is it RCA or is it RCUS that's going to a split right now?
The RCA is.
It's RCA.
Yeah. Yeah. So the RCA and the RCUS are the two oldest Reformed denominations in America. The RCA is the oldest, right? They already were established in the early 1600s, right, when the immigrants came to North America. But the RCUS is very old as well, right? It's basically primarily a German Reformed church, but they are committed to the Heidelberg Catechism, right? So, of course, they have a church in Sioux Falls, Trinity is one of them. Trinity Reformed Church. Yeah, on Louise.
Yeah.
Right, that's RCUS.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we also do, and then we'll go on, is what is nice about the being there, that's why we spend actually a full 2.5 days, the agenda is a full 2.5 days. It began Tuesday morning, and we were done by Wednesday night, but there was a slot on Thursday as well if that had been needed, is that all of these delegations also have a chance to meet each other. Right? So we have bilateral dialogue with other federations. So we sat down with the URC, we sat down with the FRC, we sat down with the OPC, we sat down with the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, and just to get to know each other better, right? And to encourage each other. We all have our unique distinctives, right? And yet, I think every time I've been there, you come away realizing it's not just us. Right? I come away every time being genuinely impressed with meeting godly men there who take their calling seriously, who take the Word of God seriously, right? And with whom you can have good spiritual dialogue. And so I think it's a good thing that we come together annually, in which we seek to encourage each other. So I told somebody during the lunch break, So on Tuesday night, so we always, it begins on Tuesday morning, and on Tuesday night, the hosting denomination every year, another denomination hosts. And the chairmanship always rotates according to the hosting denomination. So next year, the PCA will be hosting it, and it will be held in Atlanta. But then there's always a dinner for all the delegates, and then there's always a presentation, a sermon, or a devotional message. And the local pastor of the Shiloh Orthodox Presbyterian Church there gave an outstanding message on Psalm 93, that the Lord reigns, also in light of our current circumstances. It was an excellent sermon, very edifying. And the following evening, we also had a dinner, and then we had, as our guest speaker, Dr. Jonathan Master, who is the new president of Greenville Theological Seminary. So Greenville is the seminary where Dr. Joseph Piper, who preached for us last year, who was here and spoke about the Lord's, about the worship at the Tri-State Bible Conference. So he's now retired, and he's been replaced by Dr. Jonathan Master. I had heard of him, never met the man. Already I was, he sat at our table. I was favorably impressed with his genuineness, with his humble demeanor. And he got up there, and even Dr. Tony Curto from the OPC, who was the chairman this year, he said, I never met this guy until a year ago. And he said, now he's our president. And he said, everything I've heard of him has impressed me. And I have to say, he got up there and did a very, very nice job, where he spoke about the importance of public prayer. But what was powerful about that message is that he said, your public prayer as a minister or as an elder has to be nourished by your private prayer. He said, if you're not a man of private prayer, you will not be able to pray in public. He said, people should be able to tell when they hear you pray that you are accustomed to being in the presence of God. That's really powerful. It's a powerful message. Right? So, and again, I there was, you know, he was new, and he did not try to make an impression. He didn't try to be cute, as they sometimes are, you know, and not at all. He was serious. He got up there, and he brought the Word of God to us. So that was good, right? And so, yeah. And so I think everybody goes away, you know. Sometimes there is some frustration, because it seems like, sometimes it seems like we're spinning our wheels a little bit, right? Whenever the subject comes up, well, couldn't some of us merge together, then you can see people putting their toes in the water and pulling them back, you know. And it's so they're, of course, they're very interested in hearing about, you know, the developments between HRC and FRC. Of course, we are in a full correspondence relationship, and so we have a among all the federations that are there, we have the highest level of fellowship of all the federations that are there, right? FRC and HRC. But we were very, very honest with them that now that we're getting closer, we realize how many challenges we still have to overcome. And we told them that as HRC, we've put on the brakes for now, right? We just need a little bit of space, right? We realize that we're already functioning at a very high level, right? And so we are in a level 4 correspondence relationship with the FRC, which means that we fully recognize each other. We call each other's ministers. We recognize each other's offices. And so ministers can go back and forth without having to be admitted, right? So we are functioning, and our students are all trained at the same place, right? So we have a very high level of cooperation, but we're not yet one organizationally. Right? And that's going to take time, right? Because that cannot be rushed. Right? There's so many things that have to be resolved, that if you rush that kind of a process, you know, the moment you unite two churches, you end up with three, right? And this is one thing we don't want.
And there's only one step left, right?
So, yeah, the highest level would be level 5. That would be total amalgamation. But that's a few years away, right? Yes, so... Yeah, anyway, so this was a bit more than I planned on saying, but feel free to ask any questions you wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So Bay Park has a very nice website, right, where you can go if you want to learn about the other churches, about their confessions, their denominational documents. You can all find it there. And as Julie said, you can find, if you're traveling, you can find a Bay Park church, right, where you could worship. Very, thank you for mentioning that. But to give you an example, the RC, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, all these letters, I mean, it's a mixture of Presbyterian, Reformed, and, you know, they all have their own unique set of labels. So in many ways, we have a lot in common, right? They also, in terms of their emphasis on experiential preaching. However, they have a very old practice of having deaconesses, right? Deaconesses. So, what we have been debating with them for years already, is that an ordained office? Is that viewed as an office equal to elder and minister? So we finally have come to understand, no, they are appointed by the church, but they have no authority. They are simply there to engage in the ministry of compassion among the congregation, just to help out. However, the problem is that some of their documents are ambiguous. So we have been pressuring them for quite some time and said, we cannot move to a higher level with you until this is resolved. Our synod has basically instructed us that. So we're only at level one with them. Okay, until we get a clear, unambiguous statement about the position of those deaconesses in the church, we cannot move ahead to a higher level, right? And so this time, they realized that, and they said, you have finally convinced us that we need to sit down, and we need to really spell out exactly what that position is. Deaconesses. They're called deaconesses. But they're not office bearers. That's one thing we've learned. They're not office bearers, right? So they are appointed by the church, but they do not participate in the government of the church. Of course, that was a major concern for us, right? In other words, the question for us has been with this denomination, do you have female office bearers? Because it gives the impression as if you do.
That's what I was thinking. That means female, right?
Yeah. And so, so what these women do, on behalf of the church, they reach out to the elderly, right? They engage in the ministry of compassion, right? And so, and that's a very long-standing tradition in that federation. But we're not the only ones. There are other Reformed denominations asking them the same question. So the good thing that's coming out of all of this, out of this collaboration every year, is that it now is compelling them to really come to grips once and for all what this really means. Right? That's the fruit that this is bearing, also for them as a federation. So I remember that in my mother's church in Germany, my mother belonged to the Evangelical Free Church, which was a Baptist denomination. But they had what they call a congregational sister who was paid by the church, hired and appointed by the church. And she would visit the sick, and she would help the elderly. She would always be there to minister compassion to the congregation and played a very important role and was highly appreciated by the people. And I think this is a similar type of idea, right? But the reason I'm bringing this up is that what we're doing by these bilateral meetings, we're keeping each other honest. We're asking questions, right? And so, for instance, in our deliberations with the Canadian Reformed Churches, right, we have openly talked about their view of children. They had a, you know, and that's changing, but they had a very strong covenantal view, right? Not just presuming children to be saved, but they literally treat them as such, right? Very strong presumption that children are automatically saved and need to be treated as such, right? But they have really, they have been already, the FRC has already addressed this with them for quite some time, and we are now too, right? We're really impressing upon them the necessity of experiential preaching and of being discriminating in your preaching. Right? So we literally said to them this time, we want you to understand that a covenant view that negates the necessity of repentance and faith is not scriptural. A covenant view that automatically assumes our children to be God's children is a position we reject. And they are increasingly coming to that recognition. As a matter of fact, Dr. Jason Van Vliet, who is the president of their seminary, has said to me personally, he said, we increasingly realize that the experiential dimension of preaching has been missing in our churches. He said it to me personally, right? And so it's that this kind of interaction that's helping them deal with that, right? That's where we try to be fruitful with each other, right? So,
are all the Nate Park members invited to each other's synod and general assemblies? I mean, when you talk about Canadian Reform, I remember meeting guys from Canadian Reform at our synod.
Right.
Visitors?
Yeah.
So do all members of the Nate Park community invite each other?
They do. They do invite each other to send delegates to attend our general assemblies. And they don't always come, or they'll send a letter, but they all get invited. They all get invited. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, anyway, next week I'm going to read the same passage again because I never got to it today. But that's okay. But I'm glad you asked, because otherwise you just read about it and you say, well, what is it? What is NAPARC? Right? And so we have also, several times we have invited the Netherlands Reformed Churches to join us, but they have rejected that invitation every time. And I don't think they will join us. Now, the Protestant Reformed Churches have been observers for at least the last 6 to 8 years, at least, and they still are not prepared to become members. So they were asked again, this time, you know, what holds you back? And they said, well, we're just not there. So, but we invite them, right? Give them a place at the table. They are allowed to give a report about their churches. And of course, let me just talk about that as well, because it really affects us. Dr. Ken, or Reverend Ken Cole from the Protestant Reformed Churches, was very open to the whole NAPARC assembly about the troubles in the denomination. There's a split happening in the Protestant Reformed Churches, and that's very much happening here in Hull. And Hull is a significant contingent that have left and have actually established a new congregation. And but he said it's been very painful for us. He said, but it only denomination wide, it's maybe about 5% of our total membership, it's a couple younger ministers who have been agitating. They established their own magazine. One of them was told by his consistory to cease and desist, refused to do so. Then was disciplined by his consistory. That didn't accomplish, and they finally ended up deposing him. Reverend Andy Lanning from the PRC in Byron Center. And so he now has a following, including a group here locally in Hull. So they have, and Reverend Cole said, he said, in their magazine, he said, they are attacking us in a manner that is, I would rather not share with you. The language that's being used, they said, it's just very, very unsettling, and we're trying not to respond in kind. But anyway, so, but that's the kind of forthrightness there is. I mean, you know, the PCA was also very forthright about the struggles they've been through with this whole sexuality issue, right? And how they finally resolved it, right? So, the name of that new church. So we have the Protestant Reformed Church, and now we have the Reformed Protestants. So we have Protestant Reformed, and this new is called Reformed Protestants. So they just flipped the two letters around, right? So,
Do you know who Dr. Evan Moore is?
Yes, I do. No. Dr. Al Mohler is a Baptist. He is a Reformed Baptist. He is the president of Southern Baptist Seminary.
Okay.
Right. So.
I heard this weekend that he's not invited to Living Heritage Conference anymore. Are you aware of that? Or he used to speak there.
He used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm not surprised.
Somebody, and I haven't heard of this, this is what I was told, is that he was supporting some of this critical race theory stuff that's going on right now.
Well, I know that Southern Baptist is drifting. They used to be a solid, you know, under his leadership, they became very conservative again, but they are drifting again. So that's probably why they no longer invite him, I would imagine. So. Well, anyway, this was a different session than I planned, but anyway. So hopefully this was somewhat informative for you. And at least when you see NAPARC, you know a little bit what this is all about, right? And I do believe that as our culture increasingly grows hostile to biblical Christianity, that this kind of an organization is important, right? To encourage each other. And to exchange ideas and so forth. And I found it to be an edifying experience. I always have whenever I go there. Yeah. All right. Let's pray.
Our gracious God, in thy providence, we have addressed an entirely different matter than I initially intended to address. And yet, we do pray, Lord, for NAPARC. We pray for all of the Reformed federations that are part of this organization. We pray for each of these churches as they seek to be faithful to thy word, as they seek to be true to the calling of thy church, to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully, scripturally, consistently to the very ends of the world. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless our meetings that have happened this week, and that somehow we will find ways that we can increasingly be one voice, a prophetic voice, in the midst of a culture that is declining so grievously, as we increasingly see the evidence in our own nation of a forsaking of thy commandments, and of a worship of the multiple idols of our age. O God, use even our churches to bring revival to our land, and bless our own congregation to that very end. Forgive our sins and gather with us again in this evening hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.